NationalFundingGroup.com. I'm Russ Jones.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And welcome back to the program. Have we made it to the end of the week? Hard to believe. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. What a long week this has been, Professor
Plum. It's been
Plum.
A tough one. It's been a tough one.
Man, yes. Oh man, but we made it to the end of the week. Oh, Bucket.
We're here.
We are here. Bucket Strategy Investing. That's the name of the show. We are your source for the best in money information. I'm Johnny Dean with Professor Rick Plum, back live in studio, ready to take your phone calls, of course. Professor Plum joins me from Lucia Capital Group. Now, we're going to get to some phone calls to start off. I know we got some people on hold, so we will do that. But the big topic a little bit later on this hour is this. Do you need lifetime income? That's the question for you. Do you need lifetime income? It's true. Everyone needs some form of income that will last them a lifetime. But I suppose the real question is this. What form should that income take? Are you guaranteed anything? Well, we're going to talk about what lifetime income really is and how it might fit in your retirement plan. That's coming up here with Professor Plum and me in just a couple of moments. But I said this, and I meant it. We're going to take your phone calls first. Number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. Emails, we'll get to those as well. You go to our website, wealthed.com. That's at the Find Your Answer link there near the upper part of the page. We will read and answer all of your email questions, of course, live here on the program at some point, either this hour or next hour. Our Brain Trust Advisor in Chief, the one we call Professor Rick Plum, is here once again, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. I want to remind you there are many components to putting together a successful retirement, but a big part of all of it is having a workable strategy, one that's tailored to meet your individual goals. I will remind you again as well, do not try to do this all yourself. There are far too many chances to mess up what is a very important task, and that is planning for your retirement and finding the right type of retirement strategy for you. Easy. Just give the Brain Trust Advisors a call. You can reach them off the air at this number, 800-644-1150. Again, off the air, 800-644-1150. That's the number at Lucia Capital Group. They'll be happy to talk to you about anything that's on your mind and get your plan going for you. 800-644-1150. We thank them for sponsoring this hour of the program, as they have for many, many decades now. On the air, 877-PLANNER. Professor, let's take a couple calls right away.
Sure.
Let's go first to Greg in Sacramento, California. Hello, Greg. Greg?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you today?
Good. So, yeah, I had a question regarding the use test for home ownership.
Okay.
So my question is, you know, so I didn't own a home for that two-year period, but if you're moving for a job, is there, I was wondering what the, like, if there's a time period between when you, you know, that you have to move between when you sell it and then when you move for a job so you can get out of, you know, the capital gains taxes.
Well, tell me about what you're up to. You said you didn't own a home during the period.
I did. I owned it for less than 2 years.
Okay, you owned it for less than 2 years. You moved to a new job more than 50 miles away, correct?
Correct.
How long ago was that?
Well, I'm plan on doing that.
Oh, you plan on doing that.
Yeah.
And so you're looking to put it up for sale when you move, or what? Are you looking to hold on to it for a couple of years?
So the house is sold, and I'm just wondering if there's like a time frame between, you know, when you sold it and when you have to get a new job.
Oh, so you're not moving for a job, you're moving and looking for a job.
I don't know if I explained it the best. I'm about to move.
Right.
for a new job.
But you don't have that job.
I sold it a few months ago.
The reason for the move is not the job, or is it?
Well, the reason for the move is to find a new job because there's no jobs where he lives.
Okay. Is that it?
Is that what I'm hearing?
There is a job, and I'm moving for that job. The question is, you know, it's been like 4 months since I sold the house is the question.
I'd have to look up. I haven't seen or remember reading any specific parameters on that. So you owned a house for 16 months or whatever it was. You lived
right.
in it for 16 or you lived in it for at least a year or more. And then you
right.
moved out and 4 months later you sold the house.
Yeah, so I sold it, you know, back in April or so. And then, you know, got a new job somewhere else. And basically the thing is, you know, is that 4 months in between when I sold it, like in April, and to when I got a new job somewhere else, like now, is that a problem?
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I can look up to see if anything. But so you bought the house, moved into it, set it up. It was your primary residence from the day you bought it. And
right.
then you moved. Well, you sold the house and you moved and it's been 4 months, and you got. But you,
yes.
It's been 4 months since you moved, but you haven't had a job for the last 4 months.
No, I have. It's just that, you know, this new job that I'm moving for is, you know, is the one that's far away.
Oh, so the job when you sold right. the house, you
I
didn't,
still had a job.
You still had a job, and so
right. That might change things a little.
Yeah, you didn't move. You didn't sell the house because of a move. You moved. Because you couldn't afford the house or whatever the case may be.
Right, right.
And then after the fact, so you had the job for the whole time, and you actually hadn't started looking for a new job until recently. Boy, I'd have to go back and read the specifics on that. But
what
I'm
is
not,
it normally? What is the use test normally? I mean,
we have to move because of the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically, I'm trying to avoid, you know, capital gains tax, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And the, you know, there's an exemption. So if you move for a job, then you can, you know, get out of that, you know, avoid paying that.
Right. You can.
But
how much gain do you have?
Details on what that time frame is.
Yeah. What is your? How much?
It's like $24,000.
Okay. So worst case scenario is it's not going to kill you, but it'd be nice to exclude.
Yeah,
that
just,
whole $24,000.
It won't kill me. It's just that, you know, obviously hate paying these California taxes.
Yeah, he's more worried about California than the federal tax.
Sometimes I am too, actually. Yeah,
I can see if I can find anything. You know, the other side of it is just tell him you moved because of a job, and
well,
because
you're going to have the new job, right, Greg?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean,
so yeah, and so maybe that time frame, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. That's just what I was worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I'd have to look up the specific wording of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
sorry,
see. That's kind of a tricky one there for you, starting off.
Well, no, that's okay. We just wanted to make sure that we had the situation correct.
Yeah, and it is kind of an interesting situation. So.
Well, I mean, if you move and it's more than 50 miles away, and you have a new job, I mean, in some respects, you move because of that job, right?
Right, that's how I see it, yeah.
And
yeah.
According to the regulation, I'll read it, at least the publication that talks about it, you meet the requirement to use a proration if at any of the following happened during the time that you owned and lived in the home. You took or you moved because of a job. So you took the job while you lived in the home.
But you sold it a few months ago.
You
though.
Sold it 4 months right. before you took the home. So if they ever look closely at this, they're going to deny the exemption.
Okay.
And I was looking for it. I'm sorry for people that are watching and see me look down at my little tablet here, but I was looking for the wording of the way the IRS publication says the use test is determined and how to qualify for the work-related exclusion ratio on this. And it says that during the time that you owned and lived in the home, you took another job at least 50 miles away. That's what they're going to be looking for. Did you accept the position while you owned and lived in the home? And under the strict definition of that wording of it. Now, whether or not you can fudge it or however you want to do it, that's, I don't know what you can get away with, but this is what the wording of the statute says.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Oh, sure. Greg, thank you for the call. Sounds like, of course, that, I mean, the thing is they would have to look and and they might, they would have to say, okay, well, when did you move? When did you accept the job? If you accepted the job in August or July,
you moved out
but
in
you
April.
Moved out in April.
And I don't know why they would look other than to be mean, but they, and I would expect that more from California than from the federal government. But hey, like you said, he's in California. Talk to your tax preparer.
Well,
talk to the escrow company and see what they require. Because if they don't report it, never mind. I mean,
you got to be careful here, you know?
I know.
I mean, we'll tell you what the law is, what the rule is, and that's what the rule is. You have to have lived in it for, you have to have accepted
you
the job.
Owned and lived
while you
in
lived,
the home.
Yeah, which he did not.
You took a new job.
What's the, okay, so what's the amount you'd have to pay? It's a $24,000 gain. So assuming that's a 15% capital gains on the federal side.
And depending upon what he earns in the state of California, if he's married, it sounded like he was married, he's making more than $80,000, $90,000 a year total, then he would owe about 9% state income tax, California
yeah.
state income tax.
All right, so $24,000, he's got about...
Figure a quarter of it's gone.
Yeah, so $3,000
six.
Plus another...
You're just shy of $6,000.
$6,000, okay. Well, worse things have happened. You still got to keep 18 of it, although, you know.
Yeah. Now, that is, you know, the gain is reduced by any selling expenses that you would have. So if you bought it for $200 and you're selling for $224, most likely he's not going to realize the entire $224 because he's going to pay, what, 3, 4, 5%?
Okay, so that'll help
expense.
A little bit.
Yeah, still not money in my pocket.
No, it's not.
It's money in
so
somebody else's pocket.
That's it. So he doesn't get to keep that either way. All right, Greg, thank you for the call. If you have any other questions, hang on. We've got to take a break here. 877-PLANNER. Maybe we will at some point this hour explain what we're talking about with this whole use test and the exemption and what we mean by that. In fact, maybe we should do that when we come back. All right, 877-PLA-NER. If you've got money questions, we've got the answers for you here. Talking to you about your dough, about your retirement, about whatever situation that you have, we're going to help you out. 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It is Bucket Strategy Investing.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education. Learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice. Get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning. Choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
At Lumber Liquidators, we're kicking off our summer stackout sale with special deals at every store. Overstock floors, small lots, and more are priced to move. Get unheard-of clearance deals at select stores on 2,000 varieties of pre-finished hardwood from just 59 cents. Special buys like durable strand carbonized bamboo. It's just $1.69. North American and European laminate up to 20% off, with some deals from just 29 cents. And special financing. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you and get to the summer stackout sale today.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, just picking up my online back-to-school order.
Here you go. And with Staples' 110% price match guarantee, you got the lowest prices.
Order online, ready and store in an hour.
Staples makes going back to school easy peasy.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Any more and this will get cheesy.
Order online, pick up in store, and get everything you need at the lowest prices, period. Staples, make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores. Limited time. See store staples.com for details.
Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here for Lucia Capital Group, talking about your money. Any questions that you have, you give us a call. Line's open right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We'd love to hear from you. Now, on our last call with Greg in Sacramento, California, he was talking, for people that don't know, Professor Plum, he was talking about the use test when living in a home.
For creating or establishing a property as your primary residence. Most people know that if they sell their primary residence after 2 years of using it as their primary residence, they can potentially exclude up to $250,000 of any gain they've achieved. Married couple can exclude up to $500,000 of gain on the sale of a primary residence. But what if you haven't lived in it for 2 years? Is there any type of exceptions to the two-year rule? And there are a couple. There are three basic exceptions. One is that you moved because of a job, because you took a new job at least 50 miles further away from your home than where you were previously working. The other is health-related issues. You have to get a doctor involved in that. And then there are some unforeseen situations that are listed in the publication as well. But this particular, you know, Greg was calling about it a job move. Now the key is you moved out of the house that you owned for less than 2 years because of a job transfer or a move because of a job. Unfortunately, Greg moved 4 months before he got a new job. And in the wording of it, it says you have to have be living in and own a home at the time of the you accept the new job or you are transferred. So technically, he doesn't qualify. Now, what happens if you do meet the requirements? I live in a property for 12 months and then I accept a new position or my company transfers me to a new location more than 50 miles further away than I was before. What happens? I was lucky enough to buy at, at a good time. I spent $300,000 on the house, and it's now worth $350,000. And I sell it, but I haven't lived in it for 2 years. I've only lived in it for 1 year. So what I can do is I can take a proration of the exemption, the exclusion, the $250,000. I'm a single person in this example, so I've lived in it for 12 of the required 24 months. That's half the time. That means I get half the exemption. I don't get to exempt half the gain. I use half of the exemption. Half the exemption is $125,000. Half of $250,000 is $125,000. As long as my gain is not more than $125,000 in this example, I can exclude my entire gain. And so in my example, I only had $50,000, so I could exclude the whole thing. And they go by, they can actually break it down to the number of days you lived in it out of the total of, what is that, 730 days? And they would take that percentage of the exemption as able to be wiped out on gain. So it can work really well for people who have a job transfer, who have a health-related issue that they have to move, or they have one of the listed for unforeseen events.
Yeah, and again, that's the proration of the exclusion, the exemption, whatever you want to call it. There is another section that you have to, where you have to, you can do a proration, but it's the gain. And I'm trying to remember what that was.
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day. Well, it has to do with business use of the home.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. And that has to do with the gain. Yeah. Which
was a couple of weeks ago we were talking about this. If you've got a house that you've been using for a portion of time, there, you owned a property after 2008 that was a rental, then you moved into it and established it as your primary residence. So part of the time that you owned it was primary residence. Part of the time you owned it was non-primary residence. That they look at, okay, the gain is going to be split between use of primary residence and use as non-primary residence. And then you apply the exemption, the $250,000, $500,000 of exemption to the primary residence use gain.
Right.
So that one, they are splitting the gain. But when you're talking about the less than two-year exemption, that is a proration of the exemption itself, not the gain.
Yeah, much better. Much better. Because, I mean, chances are, if you only lived in it for a year, say, I mean, half of $250,000 is $125,000. It's hard to get $125,000 a gain.
Right. Unforeseen events are things like you became disabled, you somebody in the household died, you had more than two or more births. One baby doesn't cut it.
Two
babies, you have the right to get out of the.
And you're on your own on that one. That did they listed more?
Unemployment. You become eligible for unemployment compensation. Then there's some other
okay,
other ones.
So there are a few others. But anyway, that's how that works.
Those are the basics.
All right, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, emails at wealthed.com. Let's get to Ruby in St. Paul, Minnesota. This is what Ruby writes. She is 61, 62 in September, wants to work until 70 and makes about 50 grand a year. She's a widow. Her late husband started his Social Security at 62, but died not too long after that. She heard that she should start the widow's benefit as soon as she can and leave her own to grow until age 70. At that time, hers will be about $2,300. Is this true? Can she start one and then later switch to a different one?
Well, it is true. You can start one and later switch to the other if it is larger. Now, you're not going to be able to start today. You're 61 years old, which technically makes you potentially eligible for a widow's benefit. But you're also working, and you've expressed desire to work and continue working until age 70. And you're making $50,000 a year, which means that's well over the $16,000-ish threshold for an earned income offset. So you're not technically eligible at this point unless you were to reduce your income, your earned income, wages, self-employment income, things of that nature, to less than just a little bit under $16,000. If you are currently earning less than $15,720, $16,000, then you can be eligible for the entire widow's benefit. Now, the widow's benefit that you would be eligible for at this point is a reduced benefit from what your husband was receiving when he passed away. Although he took a reduction in his benefit by 25% to start at age 62, if you started now at 61, or even if you'd started earlier at 60 if you were not working, you would receive a reduced benefit from that. So what's going to happen is right now you're not eligible. As long as you keep working at this level, you're not eligible. Well, once you get to age 66, or let's see, you're 50, 61 right now, 66 in 2 months, you will be eligible, even if you continue working, to receive a benefit, a widow's benefit. And that widow's benefit is going to be slightly higher than what your husband had been receiving when he passed away. And then as long as you wait until age 70, then you can switch over. If your benefit becomes larger, at age 70, you turn your higher benefit on at that time. So you can start a widow's benefit, not start your own, and then later switch over to your own if it does indeed become larger than what you're already receiving as a widow's benefit.
Yeah, and again, the widow's benefit acts a little bit differently than the spousal benefit.
The spousal benefits are basically coordinated with each other.
Right.
The widow's benefit is not coordinated. I mean, a spousal retirement benefit, we can't get until we're at least 62. We can't get a retirement benefit until we're 62. A widow's benefit, we can take as early, assuming we're not working, as early as age 60. Well, we're not even eligible for our own benefit at that point, so they're not as coordinated. They're not as tightly integrated with each other.
Right, and the spousal benefit is based on the worker's full retirement age benefit.
All right.
And is reduced at that point, depending on when the person who wants to take it, their age. The widow's benefit is based on either what they were receiving when they passed away, what they would have been receiving had they, or what they would have been receiving.
There's a couple different scenarios, but because he was receiving a benefit, the widow's benefit is basically based on what he was receiving. Now, because he took it at 62, the widow's benefit's actually a little higher than what he was receiving. But there's some little quirks in there.
Yeah, yeah. We won't stick with absolutes. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We're going to take more of your questions. Jake, hang on. We're going to get to you next in North Dallas. We should also have Mickey, I believe, in Las Vegas. We will see if Mickey can hang on as well. And others, room on the phones for you, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. More questions answered when we come back.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy,
inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fears of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150 or click contact us at luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com, so it's time to take care of your will or trust. LegalZoom makes it easy. They're not a law firm, so there's no office visits or paying expensive hourly rates. Instead, you could save over $100 with LegalZoom's will or trust estate plan bundles. And if you don't know whether a will or trust is right for you, don't worry. You'll work with an independent attorney available in 48 states to get advice on what you need. Do the right thing this month at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
There's a new answer for people in need of serious pain relief.
Lidocare has created a one-of-a-kind pain relief patch that blocks pain for up to 8 hours. With the only non-water-based lidocaine patch on the market, Lidocare uses patent-pending technology to desensitize aggravated nerves for an odor-free, ultra-flexible, dry, and light solution to pain. The Lidocare Pain Patch from the makers of Blue Emu. For long-lasting relief, you can wear. Available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Talking to you about your money, helping you out with strategy. If you've got money questions, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, that's us, the Brain Trust, standing by to help you out, answer your money questions. All you got to do is give us a call, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Let's move along. Jake is up next in North Dallas. Hello, Jake. How can we help you today?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question in regards to a property that I have in the North Dallas area. It is now currently rented out and has been for almost 2 years, but prior to that, it was the property I was living in for almost 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you were talking about being able to, what's the term for it, avoid the capital gains, how does that apply in the situation where I lived in it first and then rented it out?
Well, in the old days, it used to be that the rental period after the use period didn't seem to matter, but when I was reading the publication, I didn't read the actual code, I was reading the IRS publication regarding the exemption, they were making no distinction between use time before and after. So what they would do is they would look at, you know, you've rented it out for 2 years, 24 months, out of the 10 years that you owned it. You lived in it for 8, you rented it for 2, so 25% or for 20% of the time that you owned it, whether it happened prior to or after your use, and this is why I was reading it just the other day in the regulations, or in the publication, didn't matter, that some of the gain would not be eligible for being excluded. Now, it, like I said, in the old days it read differently, and I don't know what's going to happen with that, but you might want to talk to whoever the escrow company is, title company, whoever's helping you with the sale, and just talk to them about if they have a better reading on it than I do, or talk to your tax preparer about it. But the way I read it before is different than the way I'm reading it in the last week or two when I went back to the publication to read it. They're making no distinction in the publication on property owner or use ownership or use and ownership times of rental after versus rental before.
Okay, so that would mean that I would be able to have a percentage of it?
Yes. So in that example where you owned it for, you lived in it for 8 years and you rented it for 2 years and you sold it, let's assume right at the end of the 10-year period of time, 20% of the time that you owned it, it was a rental. 20% of the gain that you're going to receive from the sale is not eligible for the exemption, for the exclusion. So let's say you had $100,000 worth of gain. 80% of it, $80,000, could be wiped away because of the primary residence exemption. $20,000 cannot, so you would pay tax on the $20,000. Any depreciation that you've taken over the past 2 years while it was a rental obviously gets recaptured
back.
Okay, so either the depreciation gets put back in. Got it.
The depreciation gets put back in no matter what. Even
right.
Back in the old days where we ignored, where we didn't have this proration of the gain between use, primary residence use and non-primary, the depreciation was always recaptured.
Okay.
Yeah, but okay. It's a little bit more complicated now, a little bit more math to do, and of course, it doesn't benefit you nearly as much as it used to, Jake, unfortunately.
Yeah, every time they pass a law, it seems to...
Exactly, but that's how that works.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jake. Thank you for calling. Yeah, it used to be a whole lot easier. Didn't matter.
It used to be a whole lot easier. All we had to do was live in it 2 of the last 5 years. And we were eligible for the entire exemption.
As long as
we were
eligible
to exclude all the gain, as long as it fell under the $250,000, $500,000.
Yeah.
But now in 2008, they said, well, that's just too good of a deal for you, you know, lowly taxpayers that have gain. You must be rich if you have gain. We're going to get our tax dollars on that gain. Gosh, am I getting sarcastic on Friday?
It's because we're older. It's because we've seen a whole lot, you know.
So they changed the rules in 2008, and so any ownership period of time after 2008, where it was not your primary residence, c- could potentially count against you when you. They're going to say that was the gain was due to that period of time. Now, if you had a property like mine where you bought it just before 2008, and it dropped like a daggum stone, the only thing that happened if I had rented it out during that period of time would have been a loss.
That's right. Yeah.
All the gain happened after that when I moved back into it.
What you should have done, you should go back in time and wait at maybe another year, 2 years, and then buy. You could have saved.
Oh
yourself.
Yeah. If I could. There are houses for sale now that are so much better. A couple
of
years ago.
Yeah.
So much
yeah.
better deal than what I got.
All you had to know was what was going to happen in the future.
I just had to predict the future.
Of course. Easy to do. Predicting we're going next to Mickey in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Mickey.
Hi there, guys.
How can we help you today?
I have a question about gifting.
Sure.
I was listening to your show, I think it was on Wednesday, but I couldn't get my question until today. I'm going to be gifting/giving my daughter $55,000 for the purchase of a home. It's coming out of my brokerage account, 401k brokerage account.
Okay.
And I wondered the best way I can do that is, I can gift it to her or some other form where there's less tax consequences.
Are you married, Mickey?
Yes.
Well, you can give $14,000. Your wife can give $14,000. So 28 of the 55 is just your annual gift exclusion to your daughter, so there's no reason to account for that necessarily. Is she married? They're buying a house, or she's buying a house. Is she married?
Yes, she is.
So they're buying. She and her husband are buying a house together, right?
Actually, she and her wife are buying a house together.
Sorry about that. She and her spouse are buying a house together. And so you can give $14,000 to her. You can give $14,000 to the spouse. Your wife can give $14,000 to her and $14,000 to the spouse. And if I did my math right, that comes out more than $55,000.
Well, it's 28 and 28, right?
$56,000.
So there's no consequence at all.
So you can make the gift, a split gift between, you make it to both of them. On the other side, Mickey, are you worth $11 million?
Not exactly.
The reality is...
Very south of that.
Yeah, there you go, like the rest of us, right?
Yeah. The reality is, it wouldn't be a taxable gift. I mean, you wouldn't have to pay any taxes on it, even if you had already given her $14,000, given her spouse $14,000. Even if you and your wife had already given the two of them more than $56,000, and you gave them $100,000 today, it's not going to be an issue because that'll just reduce what you can give at death. And currently at death, you can give $5.45 million each, you and your wife. And so the fact that you could only give $5.35 million isn't going to hurt your heirs too much.
No, even if you went over your wife and you gave it both to your daughter and her wife, that even if you went to $60,000 or $65,000, ultimately, Mickey, it's not going to matter if you're never going to be worth more than $11 million anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm pushing for that. I just don't think I'm going to quite get there.
Yeah,
that's one of my goals.
I
want to have an estate tax problem, not because they reduce the limits, but because my net worth goes up that much.
Exactly.
That would be very nice.
That's the idea. So to have a gift tax problem, Mickey, would be
that's
your goal, right? Unfortunately, none of us is there right now.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I had a small concern with that it was coming out of a 401k brokerage account.
Well, okay, you said brokerage earlier. I didn't hear 401k earlier. Now, if it's coming out of
a brokerage account, it's a 401k.
Okay, the 401k. How old are you, Mickey?
65.
Okay. Well, there's no penalty, but it's a taxable event. So when you pull the $55,000 out, you are responsible for paying taxes on the $55,000. That's income taxes.
Coming out of that kind of an account?
Because it's a 401k. It's a distribution from the 401k to you.
Ah, okay.
The money is coming to you. Even if you direct the 401k to send it to your daughter and her spouse, the money is taxable to you. So you will pay taxes on the 55. Or whatever you take out.
Well, then I'll just have to hike up her payback. So.
Yeah.
You're going to hike up her payment?
Well, she's ultimately going to pay me back.
Oh, then this is a loan. This isn't a gift at all.
Well, I just want to know the best way to do it.
Well, if it's a loan, no matter what happens, when you take the money out of the 401k, it's a taxable event to you.
Okay.
But then you're going to pay taxes on it at some point in the future no matter what, because money coming out of a 401k is taxable. Uh-huh. You can't get out of it. Even if you died, your heirs are going to pay the taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
So somebody's going to pay the taxes at some point. The question is, by taking $55,000, are you going into a higher bracket than you would have otherwise been? So once the money's out of the 401k, if you want to loan it to her, you can't. As long as your daughter and her spouse do not have any investment income, you can do what's known as a gift loan, and that you don't have to accrue any interest. You don't have to charge any interest. They just, you have a piece of paper that says she's going to pay me back the $55,000. Or they are.
Oh, I see. Okay. 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 Well, that's why I'm glad I called you guys, because she had information that was contrary to that. So
what did she have?
Yeah, I'm curious. What do you remember? What they just offered?
Her information was that she sent me a form letter called a gift, something gift, and I told her this was, I don't have that kind of change laying around, so it's going to have to come on my 401k.
Well, what she got was probably a letter from the lender.
Right.
See, they need to show that the money is her money, and that she's not encumbered as to a payment. That has to do with
the
borrowing
loan.
The money.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different animal than what you're talking about.
But, yeah. But from a gift from a gift tax or loan, whatever, anything like that, Mickey, you're absolutely fine. If you have any other questions, hold on. I just got to take a break. So I appreciate the call. Great questions. Chris in San Francisco will also get to you. And others, stick around. We still have a line open, 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, an affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Control, this is QL1. Everything looks good on my end. Prepping for liftoff. Over. One more thing, QL1. What's that, Control? You've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
Well, it's completely online. It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Yeah, go ahead and pick one. Anyone.
That's tough. They all sound great. I think you're finally getting it, Control.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
I love getting a bargain, but there are some things I'll spend the extra money on, like my bedding. I used to think, what does it matter? I'm sleeping. But once I tried thecompanystore.com, I got it. See, they've been around for over 100 years, so they've perfected what it takes to make the finest quality bedding and home goods for the best price. They not only set the bar for comfort, they last.
Visit thecompanystore.com and try any product risk-free. Enter the code VALUE and get 15% off plus free shipping. Thecompanystore.com. We're all about comfort.
Market strategy investing, got a lot of folks on hold, so we're going to take your calls right now. If you're on hold, don't go away. We are going to get to everybody's call, so just be patient. We will get, I was told, I think we still have just one line open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Let's move along next to Chris in San Francisco. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you do.
You're welcome. How can we help you today?
My wife and I purchased a home, and we've lived in it for 3 years, and I recently lost my job and had started collecting unemployment insurance.
Okay.
And until now, we've used one of the bedrooms in our home as a home office tax deduction, and we're now planning on selling our home and relocating to San Diego, where we're going to be renting for the next year or two. We started out renting our home, and it's estimated to sell at $750. So I have two questions. What are the tax consequences we should expect? Are there any ways we could better position ourselves without delaying the sale of our home?
Yeah, the delaying the sale is what's the key, is to be able to get past a certain waiting period for using the non-primary residence use property. If it was being used basically as a office, that portion of the overall property, you look at the square footage versus the square footage of the house, will be treated as a business portion of the house, and that portion of the house will be treated as taxable gain. Now, how much gain? Your phone was a little garbled. How much gain in total do you have?
Oh, are you there?
Darn. Okay. I mean, one room in a house shouldn't create a huge amount of gain.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
oh,
now
okay,
you're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might be in a bad sell area.
How much?
Sorry about that. We're expecting a gain of $350,000.
Wow, in 3 years. That's not too shabby. So some of the gain, let's say, you know, how big is the house? 2,500 square feet? You
know, no, it's 800 square feet.
800 square feet. And so one room makes up a fairly large portion of the overall property. I would have to go back. I think you have to be without using it for at least 6 months or more to be able to say that it's now we're going to treat the whole house again. Again, we got to get into the little minutia wording of how this thing is written. But having that much gain in that period of time, there are worse things than paying a little bit of taxes. So you would look at the worst case scenario, you look at the amount of square footage of the property that you've been depreciating as a business use, and the whole property, and that percentage may not be eligible for the exclusion.
Okay. And then besides the exclusion, how will that gain be treated? As ordinary income or?
No, it's long-term capital gain.
Okay, so it'll be also considered long-term capital gain.
Yeah, it's a capital asset.
The percentage used as the tax deduction.
Right, so you've got $350,000 of gain. Let's say that the room represented 10% of the house. So $35,000 of the gain would potentially be taxable to you as a long-term capital gain. That $35,000 can be offset by stock losses or other losses that you may have or may not. And if you don't have that, then the $35,000 comes over as a long-term capital gain. How much income do you have? How much is the household income right now or will be for this year?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Total household income for 2016.
It's going to be about $80,000.
Then if $80,000 is your total household income, if all you have is $35,000-$40,000 gain, a big chunk of that will be taxed at a 0% long-term capital gain bracket. Some of it may go into the 15%. So it's not going to be a huge number other than California wanting a few pennies on it as well.
Which they will.
Got it. So other than the, let's say out of the $300,000 in gain, maybe $35,000 of that.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it depends on the square footage.
Yeah. Long term.
Yeah, it'll be long term. You're going to have some room.
And then the remaining portion you're saying is zero?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you can exclude up to $500,000 of the gain attributable to the primary residence. The gain attributable to the business use property, unless we can figure out a way to exclude it, will be long-term capital gain. The fact that you have a married couple filing a joint return and you have $80,000 of total income, that puts you in the 15% income tax bracket.
Which, for capital gains purposes,
for the amount of money that can fall into the 15% capital gain or income bracket, is a 0% capital gain. So it's not going to be hugely detrimental to you.
All right.
Great. Well, thank you for clarifying that, guys. Appreciate
okay.
the time.
You bet. Thank you for the call, Chris.
And when you come to San Diego, come down and say hi to the show.
There you go. Stop on by. We'd love to talk to you. $350,000. I mean,
in 3 years.
In 3 years.
An 800 square foot house went from $400,000 to $750,000 in the last 3 years.
It's like it's 1998 all over again.
Holy cow.
All right, let's move along. Eric is next in San Jose. Hello, Eric.
Hello, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. How can we help you?
So I have two vested RSU grants. One vested in 2014, 1,000 units, and then one vested in 2015, 1,000 units. I have a base price of $40 at each vested year, and the stocks went up 30% in the last couple of days. I'm going to be selling both vested RSUs this year. I only made about $10,000 this year, and so what I'm trying to understand is what is going to be the capital gain short term and long term.
Well, you have 1,000 shares of each at a strike price of $40, so that means that your basis in each block is $40,000, and because they're fully vested, you've already experienced the majority of the taxation on that, because when they vest, unlike the old stock options that didn't have a taxation until we exercised the option, an RSU, restricted stock option, has a taxation when it vests, and we have the right to sell it at that point. So your basis is now $40,000, so or in each one. So you're looking at how much gain over and above that. If it's $50,000 total value, you've got $10,000 of gain in each one of those, and it go ahead.
It's $20,000, yeah. So it's $20,000 gain per.
$20,000 gain per. And when you said it vested in 2015, when in 2015 did it vest?
It vested in July.
Okay, so you're more than a year on both of them. They're long-term capital gains. You're looking pretty good to go. Not going to be huge.
So the gains that I'm going to pay, or the tax that I'm going to pay, it's only on the gain itself, which is the $20 that I gain per share.
Right, because in RSU, the taxation on the grant happens when it vests, when you have the right to sell it, which happened in 2014, which happened in 2015. You should have seen a nasty little excess withholding and taxation in those years, in those months when they vested.
That's correct. Okay, so then the additional, so in total, I'm going to get roughly about $120,000 in income this year when I sell it. So the $80,000 of it will be excluded.
That's your basis.
That's my basis, and then so the income that I'm gonna, the taxes that I'm gonna pay on my income, it's gonna be 40,000.
$40,000 long-term capital gain.
Joseph, Eric, I got to take a break. If you could hang on, we could talk to you more during the top of the hour news. Joseph, also, we got several others on hold. Don't go away. If you need the brain trust, we got another hour coming up. You can also talk off the air at Lucia Capital Group. Their phone number there, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. More of your calls when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.